The stock market's apparent turnaround yesterday may be old news. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. One of the most famous names in the energy business is in trouble. The former head of Chesapeake Energy, Aubrey McClendon, was indicted yesterday, accused of conspiring to rig bids for the purchase of oil and gas leases in Oklahoma. From Marketplace's sustainability desk, Andy Euler has been following the story. Andy, McClendon remains a big deal in the energy sector. Tell us more about him.
So McClendon actually co-founded Chesapeake in 1989, served as its CEO. Now, 15 years after the company went public in 93, it was one of the more important energy companies in the U.S., because McClendon started buying up oil and gas. He was all in on shale and started grabbing up leases in places like Texas and Oklahoma. And he was let go by the company in 2013 amid conflict of interest allegations. And Chesapeake accused him of stealing trade secrets to try to entice investors to help him start up a new energy company.
And what are the accusations now?
So the charges say Chesapeake and another large energy company, they're calling them Energy Company A and B, were deciding ahead of time who would win the leases, and then the winning bidder would give an interest in the leases to that other company. Now, McClendon denies all wrongdoing. If that sounds a little complicated, it was to me. Let me give you a scenario. Imagine you're bidding on a Pete Rose baseball card on eBay, but you know the other person who's bidding, what they're going to bid, and then you guys decide together what you're going to pay for the card and who's going to get it. You might even be able to get the card. You might even work out getting a cut if that person sells the card. It's a lot bigger here because we're dealing with something like oil and gas, but which then trickles down to things like gas prices and heating costs.
All right. Innocent till proven guilty, though. Marketplace's Andy Euler, thank you. Let's do the numbers now. The FTSE in London is down 0.33%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are down in the 0.2% range. The Dow yesterday gained 348 points, 2.1%. Seemed like a moment for the stock market, perhaps a turnaround. The S&P up 2.4%. The NASDAQ yesterday gaining 2.9%. There are some lessons here about our psychology as it applies to stock market investing. Many investors were so caught up in the narrative that the stock market was lousy this year that we may have missed its turn. Not yesterday, but weeks ago. Marketplace regular Alan Sloan is also a columnist for The Washington Post, and he helps us with this. Alan, good to see you.
Good morning, David.
So what, you think I should get my head out of January and update it to March 2016 here?
Well, you might as well, because if you remember, stocks had a terrible January, then they started out February awfully, and February 11th, which turns out to have been, at least for now, the bottom of the market. People were just freaking out and talking about fear. And about the time people started talking about fear, the stock market turned around and headed the other way. And for the rest of the month went up, I think it was 6.5%. I mean, nobody knows. This is the thing about stocks. Everyone has an opinion, but nobody knows anything.
Now, when you're talking about the market, you're talking about the Wilshire 5000, which is a nice proxy for...
Right. The Wilshire 5000, which isn't used that much in the news media, it's the best index there is for the total U.S. stock market because it's got pretty much every stock in it. It's at least heading in the right direction, maybe.
Now, I've worked with you for a long time, so I know that your conclusion cannot be, what me worry? It is time to stop worrying about the stock market?
Well, you should always worry about the stock market. You should always worry about everything. But, you know, it's one thing to worry, and it's another thing to fear. And fear means, oh, my God, it's the end of life on the planet. I can't take it anymore. Let's sell everything. And about the time, I think, that people start to feel that way is about the time the market turns. So what happens is typically people get all excited when the market is going up and they get in and they buy at highs or near highs, and then they freak out and sell at lows. I know that if you sit and obsess over the stuff and watch it daily and try to time it, unless you're a professional, you're never going to get it right. And even if you are a professional, you're probably not going to get it right anyway.
Alan Sloan is also editor-at-large at ProPublica. Alan, thanks.
My pleasure, David.
Last Last night, NASA astronaut Scott Kelly and Russian cosmonaut Mikhail Kornienko returned safely to Earth after more than a year in space. They caught a ride on a Soyuz capsule, which, as Marketplace's Kimberly Adams reports, is really the only option these days.
Have you ever tried to book a trip to a place served by just one airline? The prices can be crazy. That's how it is with space right now.
At this point, Russia has a monopoly on transportation, so we either go with them or we don't go at all.
John Logsdon used to run the Space Policy Institute at George Washington University. Since the U.S. shut down its shuttle program, we buy seats from Russia on theirs.
It's currently costing us $75 million a seat, and it will go up in 2018 to $82 million a seat.
But Russia depends on us, too. We operate control centers and provide supplies for the space station. Todd Harrison is with the Center for Strategic and International Studies.
If we pulled out of it, the Russians would not be able to operate the International Space Station.
NASA has a commercial program where private companies will shuttle astronauts to the space station in a year or two. That should eventually make the trip a lot cheaper. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
And an interesting wrinkle in the controversy over whether Apple should crack the encryption on the iPhone used by one of the San Bernardino mass murderers. County officials early in the investigation apparently reset the iCloud account connected to that phone, making it much harder for authorities to see what was on the phone. The FBI's director, James Comey, conceded this was a mistake during congressional testimony yesterday. Apple's been resisting opening up encrypted accounts on privacy grounds. Our reporters are Justin Ho, Katie Long, and Beatty Jong. Our engineer this week, Jake Gorski. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.